Welcome into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Tim Dennis, and no, I'm not Dave Schrader, and there's a good reason for that. I've given Dave the day off. It's his birthday. It's his 50th birthday today, so happy birthday, buddy. I hope you're enjoying the day, taking the day off, taking a load off, relaxing, and just having a great all-around day. I know for this much, I know he did get rooked into babysitting today, so sorry about that, but I'm sure he's enjoying his granddaughter all the same today. So with that, by all means, hit Dave on his social media. You can find his social media links at darknessradio.com. Be sure to wish Dave a happy birthday today. It's a huge day for him. He's turning 50 today. And people think, is that a huge milestone that can crush you? Yes, it can. He's old. He's old, folks. He's just plain old. So, crush him as much as you can. No. Send him lots of love. Just a reminder, Dave, you are much, much older than I am. So I'll be sure to rub that in as much as I can. But happy birthday, buddy. I love you very much and wish you much, much success in your 50s and many more good times to come, because there's lots of good stuff coming around the corner here for both of us here. So with Dave's birthday being said, he promised you guys a drawing for a free year of True Crime Tuesday. And he drew that today and sent me a message to say that we have three winners for the True Crime Tuesday drawing. Of course, today is a day where we were going to draw for three people. If you subscribed to True Crime Tuesday over at patreon.com/TrueCrimeTuesday, or you went through darknessradio.com, clicked on the banner that took you to True Crime Tuesday on our Patreon site. Of course, that is our true crime show. You were eligible, if you signed up during the month of October into November, you were eligible to win a free year of True Crime Tuesday. Now, we put out a new show every Tuesday, including a brand new guest plus Dumb Crime Stupid Criminals every single Tuesday. And of course, it's only $5 a month. So you can still sign up. It's not like you can't. Go to darknessradio.com, click on the banner that says True Crime Tuesday, follow it over, and get in on it right now. You get a brand new show every Tuesday. There's other goodies in there as well. But you too can participate. So be sure to do that. But here are our winners. Are you ready? I don't have a drum roll. But our winners of the drawing for True Crime Tuesday and a full year of True Crime Tuesday, absolutely free, are Paul Curtis, Austin Hardy, and Rebecca Hazeltine Potter. Once again, Paul Curtis, Austin Hardy, and Rebecca Hazeltine Potter, congratulations to the three of you. You're going to receive a full year of True Crime Tuesday, absolutely free, courtesy of Dave and I, and in honor of his birthday. So there you go. Be sure to subscribe now over at patreon.com/TrueCrimeTuesday, or just go to darknessradio.com, click on the banner for True Crime Tuesday, follow it that way, and make sure you tune into the best in true crime radio over there, and find out what you're missing, folks. There's some great content over there, and every week we're hitting it out of the park and bringing you some of these great true crime stories that you just don't want to miss. So tomorrow's Thanksgiving, folks, and it's a time where we either get together with family or friends, loved ones, people that that we appreciate, that we want to reconnect with, and we share a meal, but more importantly, we share experiences with each other and we reconnect, and that's really what the day I like to think is all about. You can bring up the history or whatever, but that's what the day's always been about for me, and it's always been a happier day for me because I get to see and talk to people that I've missed for quite a while. So in honor of today, I wanted to, I get emails, I get questions all the time. I get people hit me up on social media saying, where's Joe Who? How come we don't have Joe Who on more often? So I figured, you know what? It's Thanksgiving and we want to catch up with an old friend. So without further ado, let's bring on to Beyond the Darkness. Voice direct sensitive. Is that right, Joe? Joe Who? Did I get it right the first time?
That's right, Tim. Thank you. Yes.
All right, because I have a way of screwing that up every single time. So I figured I'd just...
Yeah, it's not a common title, and it's not a common thing, I guess.
That's true.
And by the way, hello, Tim. Say hi to Dave, and wish him a happy birthday for me.
I will.
And hi to all your listening audience. It's great to hear your voice again.
Well, it's great to hear your voice. You know, it's one of those things where... at times you get rolling, and sometimes you fall out of touch with people, and you want to get them back on as soon as you can and get to talking to people. And one of the things, and we'll just pull back the curtain on Oz here real quick. One of the things, since we've gone to a podcast format, is you can't exactly do live call-ins. I know that's one of the things that people have said they've missed about the show is, well, you can't have Joe on, and you can't do live call-ins, and you can't do psychic readings, and you can't do this and this and this and this. That isn't really conducive to the podcast format, because podcasts are recorded, right?
Yes.
So what we're thinking of doing, and what we may do, although it kind of it might fall on a deaf ear, but we'll see. We'll see. We might try it once. I might try it once here when Dave's away. Is we may put out a social media blast at a certain time and see if we can get some people to call in or line up to be called in, it's not a pre-screen by any means, but we'll try to get some people to call in sometime, and we'll try to do a psychic show here in the future and see how people respond to it, because it's hard, because people sometimes don't see your social media blast until hours later, and then of course you get complaints about that too. So interestingly enough, Joe, back in October, beginning of October, was Chicago Ghost Conference, and since you and I got to meet in person, and you and I and Jeff, your producer, we all got to meet in person. Now when I come to Chicago, I'm like, oh, I want to catch up with Joe and Jeff. So we were about to come down for Chicago Ghost Conference. I remember making I don't remember if I left a message or if I didn't leave a message. My memory's spotty there because a lot of stuff was going on. I remember calling both your phone numbers, though, and not getting an answer. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird, because normally, you know, Joe picks up or at least gets back. And I thought, well, there's no answer. And I thought, okay, well, and then I got busy, and then Dave couldn't go to Chicago Ghost Con because he had a couple of sick kids and some other things came up. So he asked me to host. So then I started getting ready for the conference. And as I'm sitting there at the conference, I'm going, I never heard back from Joe, because your name came up a lot at the conference. People were wondering, where's Joe who? Or have you heard from Joe? And I'm like, no, I haven't. And I started thinking about it. What in the world happened to Joe who?
Yeah. So interesting stuff.
And it just so happens that weekend that I was in Chicago, you were there too in Chicago, of course, because you lived there. But you were in a different part of Chicago other than your home, my friend. Tell people what happened to you this past fall.
So what happened to me was I went to the emergency room. And one night it was, you know, right near the time of the conference, because I was going to be there, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up. I thought, that, you know, there's a lot of colds and flus going around here and bronchitis. So I woke up, you know, having a hard time breathing, like my lungs hurt, you know.
Yep.
So I went to the emergency room, and they took an enzyme, a blood enzyme test, or, you know, all kinds of stuff. And they said, Joe, your heart enzymes are not normal. So I said, what does that mean? He says, well, you need further testing, but we don't have the equipment here, so we're going to transfer you to a different hospital. So I said, should I worry? He says, no, don't worry about it. So anyway, I said, well, I could drive this. No, we're going to take it by ambulance. Well, how can you not worry when you hear that? You
right,
know?
Yeah.
So they took me to a different hospital, and it was late on a, I don't know what night it was. Anyway, the next morning, as soon as I got there, they put me on IVs, all right? The next morning, they gave me an angiogram, and they've discovered that 4 out of 5 of my major arteries were blocked.
Oh, my gosh.
My heart artery. Yeah, I know. And I freaked out. I'm going, you know, I'm not a junk food eater. I'm not, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I was raised with an Italian family from Italy. I mean, I don't eat that kind of food. Anyway, so the next day, the surgeon came to me and said, Joe, you have to have surgery, because stents aren't going to work for you. So he says, but you beat the odds. I go, what do you mean I beat the odds? He says, well, what we see in you, we normally see in people 40 and 50s, in their 40s and 50s. It's a genetic thing.
Hmm.
So he asked me if anybody in my family died of heart attacks. Of course, a lot of them did. My father's father, my grandpa, died of a heart attack before he was 50, and because I never knew him. Even before my mom and dad got married. And then my father had a heart attack and passed away. My brother had a heart attack and passed away. Grandpas, grandmas, aunts, uncles, you know. So they performed the surgery, here's another weird thing. They tested my carotid arteries. And they were clear as a whistle. And they take veins out of your legs, I guess, to replace your heart with.
Yep. The arteries. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And and that's the funny thing is they used to leave long slits. Now it's done with little orthoscopically. So anyway,
really?
Those are clean. Yeah. So he says, you know, it's genetic, and it kind of freaked me out. And I was scared. Yeah, of course I was scared. But I'm not ready to go anywhere yet, you know?
Right.
And I went in the surgery on a Monday morning, I think, and I woke up on Tuesday morning. Although I couldn't, you know, they said they kept me asleep until the next morning, I guess. And they took out the ventilator tube, and I didn't even know. He says, well, I wasn't awake. He said, yeah, Joe, you were awake. I said, I don't remember it. He says, well, just as well you didn't remember it.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So then after that, they put me in ICU and they did some tests, and 7 days later from the disease surgery, I was home and then recuperating. Isn't
wow.
that a trip?
That is, you know, I'm not going to lie. That's one of the things that scares me about my family history too. Both my mother and father have had heart bypass surgery. My mother's father had heart bypass surgery. So, you know, I'm probably speeding headlong into it myself at one point, but, you know,
my brother is 57. He went to, they wanted him to have bypass surgery too. And but by the way, my brother, if he was alive today, he'd be 3 years older than me. And he was afraid to have the bypass, so he said he wanted stents. They recommended against the stents, but he didn't want to change his mind, so he gave him the stents. Unfortunately, my brother died in the hospital before he was even released.
Oh my gosh!
And they couldn't bring him back even under emergency.
So, do you think it was something with your brother where he might have even intuitively known that you know what, this is coming up, it's going to happen to me, so I'm going to cut it off at the pass?
You know, that's an interesting question. I don't know. I really don't know. I just know my brother was afraid of it.
Hmm.
I didn't find this out, by the way. I didn't find this out until after mine.
Wow.
After my surgery. I didn't find out that. I just thought my brother just, you know, coded for some reason for the heart attack. I didn't realize that he, you know, he didn't want to have the bypass. He wanted the stents.
Interesting.
And they told me right off the bat, they said I was not even a candidate for stents.
So the blockages were just too much, huh?
Yeah, too much, yeah.
Did they tell you the percentage of blockages in each one of the vessels? Did they say it was like...
Yeah, they're pretty bad. You know what's interesting? What they said is that there's a calcification on the outside of the arteries, which is in and of itself not bad, but your arteries can, you know, expand and contract.
Mm-hmm.
Well, during the contractions, mine were clogged, that would cause pain. And, of course, it didn't feel like my heart was pain, you know, hurting. It seems like my lungs were hurting. And I asked him, I said, well, how big are these arteries? Here's what he told me. He says, Joe, they're about the size of a pencil lead.
Yeah.
That's how small they are. I'm thinking to myself, those are arteries. He says, Joe, how big you think your heart is?
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was interesting.
You know what else is interesting, too, Joe? And I found this out from when my uncle had his heart attack, my dad's brother, my godfather. He was up. This is a scary scenario. He was up at Lake Mille Lacs. He has like a small property up there. He's got a trailer on that property. And he was out clearing brush. And he was having a real bad backache. And he thought it was unusual because he doesn't have real bad back problems. And he's a very well-fit man for his age. And he was out there clearing brush. And he thought, this is just bizarre. It's unusual. Well, he went into the trailer to turn in for the night. And the back kept getting worse and worse and worse, the pain. And he remembered an interview with former Vice President Dick Cheney, where he had talked about the indicators of one of his heart attacks was severe back pain. It had nothing to do with the chest. It had nothing to do with anything else. But the pain was located in his lower back. And it was at that point that my uncle thought, you know what, this might not be a muscle strain. It might not be a disc slip. it might actually be something having to do with something else. I got to get into the hospital. So he drove himself from Lake Mille Lacs, which is, you know, an hour or two. Actually, it's more than an hour. It's probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from the Twin Cities. Drove himself back to the Twin Cities, checked himself into the hospital. And they told him at that point he had had a heart attack. And they put a couple of stents in him. But, I mean, think about that. He could have died in his sleep up at the trailer. Nobody would have known.
I asked the surgeon, two things I asked him. I said, what if I go for stents? He says, we can't do stents. I said, what about medication? He says, well, that's a hit or miss thing, Joe. It can work all of a sudden. You can not wake up one morning.
Right.
You know, or something like that. So that answered that question. Then I said, how many of these procedures have you done? He says, personally, I've done at least 2,000.
Wow.
And he's not that old a guy. The hospital they took me to in Illinois, it was outside Chicago, is known for their heart procedures. They've done over 10,000 heart procedures. And you know how they say MRSA, whatever that stuff is,
yep.
around, you know, highly resistant?
Yep.
This hospital has none of that, absolutely none.
Huh.
And he explained to me why. It was just, So anyway, so I guess I was in great hands. But the interesting thing is, 3 days before this happened, you know, I know your audience knows that my mom passed away at the beginning of the year. Okay, in fact, she passed away one day before her 95th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
And my mom was living independently. I mean, she still was in her own house, and she still cooked, and, you know, and she went to sleep and just didn't wake up. Okay, and that's how mom went.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, because I was the only one left, I mean, everybody in my family is gone. My mom was gone then, my dad was gone, my brother was gone, and my sister was gone, so it was only me. So, at that time, it was just a very, very tough thing to deal with. So the appointments I had that were on the books, I returned, refunded all the money, and I told people I needed to take some time off to recoup from all this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to start again in September, and of course, late September is when I started had this attack happened.
Jeez.
And then, I think 2 days before the end of September. So I said, I'm going to start, started taking appointments for in September, to build up the appointments. And of course, now I'm trying to play catch up again. And then after the surgery, by the way, I don't know if I told you, remember when my mom passed away, I fell down my stairs in my house and I cracked 3 ribs? Did I tell you that, Tim?
No, you didn't tell me that. No.
Yeah, at my mother's funeral, I couldn't even wear a suit. I couldn't pick my arms above. There's nothing they could do for your broken ribs.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they just said, you got to live with it. So, I couldn't even wear a suit. But that pain was 10 times worse than the pain after the surgery, after my bypass surgery. And it wasn't because of painkillers. Of course, they had me on painkillers.
Right.
They were giving me, I forget what they're called, two of them twice a day. After mm-hmm. the second day, I didn't want them anymore. So I just took one once a day. And it was 5 milligrams of, hydrocodone or something. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And after 2 days of that, I stopped taking those because I didn't get... The only thing that bothered me is God forbid, you can't cough and forget about sneezing.
Yeah.
they give you the pillow to hug. You got to really hug that pillow. I don't care how hard you... And I said, how do you, what do? You separate the sternum? He said, oh, yeah, we cut it in half and spread it out.
Yep.
Well, says, how do you put it back together? He says, Joe, we use stainless steel tie wraps and clips.
Yep. Yeah, that's...
I looked at him.
They've been doing that that the same way for decades, yeah.
You're right, Timmy. I know what else is new. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, you're fine.
And when they close your chest up, it's up to the surgeon. He can either stitch you, the skin, or he can glue you.
Yep.
There's a glue they use now.
Yep.
And it's like I guess that's what crazy glue was originally developed for, but it's like crazy glue on steroids, and that's what they glue your skin with.
Yep. Yeah, and so, you want to hear something kind of bizarre, is a lot of times in the indie wrestling circuit, when guys get busted open and they can't afford to go to the hospital, a lot of times they take regular super glue, over-the-counter super glue, and they'll glue their own wound shut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That's more than crazy. I encourage them to go to the hospital, but,
Now, here's an interesting thing. I was watching TV before I went to, had my heart issues. I was watching television and I'm single, so, I live alone.
Mm-hmm.
And off the corner of my eye, I kept seeing a person walking, like I'm watching TV, along the right side. So if I'm looking at TV peripherally, I can see my dining room and kitchen, okay?
Okay.
And I'd look, and that's, oh, okay. Although it happened one time, happened, and then the next day it happened again, about the same time. And then I'm thinking to myself, it didn't scare me, so I'm thinking, maybe it was my mom or something, you know, or trying to tell me something. Mm-hmm. And after the third night, it happened again the third night. And I think it was that night or the night after that is when I woke up. I was kind of dozing about 11 o'clock, and I took myself to the emergency room because I was having a hard time breathing.
Now,
so I was thinking maybe it was my mom trying to tell me, you know, do something.
Did you get a good look at who that person might have been, or was it just out of the corner of your eye so quick that you couldn't
tell?
Well,
as I turned and looked, you know, it kind of just slipped out of view, disappeared. But I had a feeling. You know, normally stuff like that I find very unsettling because I don't like to do hauntings. So you and I talked about that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't like doing those.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel it at all. I didn't feel any of that. So I figured it was someone I knew. It had to be someone from family. It had to be for me not to feel any kind of anxiety.
Huh.
So I thought it was either my mom or I didn't think it was my brother or my sister, okay? But it was obviously it was my mom. The only thing I could figure.
So let me ask you this, Joe. Are you, as a voice direct sensitive, or as someone who's in touch with the other side at times, are you someone who's open to a visitation from family every once in a while?
Not normally, but it's happened.
Why not normally? Why are you not as willing to be open? Because there are a lot of people out there who would think.
Oh, and I'm not a medium. Those are mediums.
I know, but as someone who has a gift and can reach out to the other side and pull information, why would you not be? Because think of this as from somebody who's dead to the world or dead to the other side, put it that way.
All right.
And people out there who say, you know, I just wish that someone would reach out to me. I just wish I could have that experience, or I just wish I could have those kind of gifts, or talk to people on the other side, or just have people come to me at different times. Why would someone like you, who has gifts that give you the ability to tap into the other side, not necessarily want to be open to visitations?
Well, okay. There's schools. I have two schools of thought on that one.
Okay.
And I believe them totally. If you keep wanting to visit someone to visit you, all of a sudden they can become earthbound. In other words, it can interrupt their journey. You know, that's one thing that can happen. It's happened. I've seen cases of that. I feel like if my mom or one of my family, you know, my mom, my dad, or somebody wants to say something, they would come through, and they do, you know, I mean, it's happened,
mm-hmm.
but nothing that I would dwell on, nothing I would, you know, hey, mom, I need help with this, or hey, dad, and it's presumptuous of me, you know, they've already done their duty here, you know, have what they're doing over there be what they have to do.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I will call on spirit, you know, just for something like that, I think. But, and then again, too, I just think there's, I don't know, I never, I'll give an example. My mom was, you know, when her mother passed away. I mean, my mother knew, when my mother passed away 2 days before she was going to pass away, she knew exactly what was going to happen. One day she got in an argument with me and my brother, and she went in the bathroom and started crying, and all of a sudden she started screaming. And this was on a weekend, you know, and my father got really, you know, she opened the bathroom door, and my father went, "What the hell's wrong?" And she says, "I just saw Ma." I said, "What are you talking about?" He says she saw at the mirror. She saw a vision of a casket with her mother in it. Okay.
Wow.
And then, and this was a couple of days before Thanksgiving. Then day before Thanksgiving, my mom was, you know, doing something in the cooking. The phone rang. She dropped everything and screamed and says, "Mom is dead."
Jeez.
And I said, "Mom, it's just the phone." We picked up the phone. It was my mother's sister, my Auntie Josie, and she called to tell my mother because she was at the house. They were taking shifts. And that my mom passed, and her mother passed.
Wow.
So, I think that getting in touch with someone on the other side, if it's something of dire need, fine. If I say, "Mom, if you're okay, let me know," that I do all the time.
Okay.
I tell my clients to do that, too. But having them to, you know, be obligated to feel obligated to come and visit all the time, that wouldn't be, in my book, a good thing. So, I mean, if they want to come through, I'm open to it. But I don't seek it out.
Well, let me ask you this, Joe, because I know there's probably some people in the audience who are wondering, too. Since your mom has passed, do you think she's looked in on you from time to time? Have you felt her presence?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've also felt things that didn't feel safe either. I mean, you know, you ever hear that little expression of when the hair stands up on the back of your neck?
Yeah, yeah.
Trust me, when that happens, there's something around. There is, well, you know.
What in your opinion is that, at least in your case? What do you think?
I just think it's something that's negative. Not necessarily evil, just negative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just some kind of energy or a, you know, there's a lot of pastors. You know, there's a lot of spirits running around, you know, for whatever reason, all kinds of reasons. And sometimes they find they were in and through your house, and you can, like, you know, you can tell there's something there, and because the hair stands up and evacuate for absolutely no reason. Okay? And then it fades.
So kind of like a spiritual cockroach?
Yeah, kind of like that.
They're kind of there. They've invaded. You're a little freaked out by it, and you want to get rid of it?
Yeah. I don't know. They just leave.
Oh. Huh.
If it's continual, I mean, you know, then, if they decide to stay, that's another thing that happens. If they want to stay, then you'll know that. That's terrible.
See,
then it can become a haunting.
Yeah. And to me, the one thing that always kind of, I cringe when people say, I think I have something in my house, I want to investigate it, or I think I have something in my house and I want to record it, or I want to get an EVP, or I want to do this, or I want to try and investigate it myself. I always cringe because I think, you know, you never know what doors you're opening up or what you're, you know, first of all, if you don't know what you're doing, you're bound to make it worse. But two, why would you want to know what's there? Why not call in a professional, get rid of it? Or,
you know, Tim, if there's something in your house, you will never say, I think there's something in my house.
No, I know, but we have some people who have listened to the show before that I think listen to the show and are dedicated to listening to the show, and they might have a few bangs and knocks and things that happen, and you know, they're not quite sure. We have had people
that's
say,
how
I'm
I do.
Sure.
I know. Yeah, I'm being facetious.
Or they're curious. There's some people who are just curious, and you know, they watch the different TV shows and they listen to this program and say, you know, I want to know if there's something in my house. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. Sometimes maybe you just should be happy with knowing that you're alone as far as you know. You know, don't you think so?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's interesting. I think people would be a little bit more unsettled if they live alone. You know, mm-hmm. than if they have regular other family. You know, there's two different schools. There's two different scenarios. Let's say you live alone and you have problems, okay? It's one thing to deal with. But if you have a family, then you're dealing not just with yourself. You're dealing with your husband or wife. You're dealing with your children. Because they're all, you know, something that's a lot more difficult to put your head around, and it can also be a lot more traumatic for everybody.
Very true.
Okay, so, you know, I think there's school, you know, you... Like you said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
Right.
I understand that. But on the other side of that coin, there are people, and especially if they notice they're noticing differences in one of their children's or behavior of people, that's an indicator sometimes, too.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, Joe, at this point, why don't we take our first break of the program? And it's our only break, actually. In the new format, Joe. I know it's a newer format, but we'll take a break at this point, and... And when we come back, let's kick it around a little bit about things that have happened since the last time we've visited, and maybe talk some world events and stuff like that. Let's get some people riled up, huh?
Okay, I also want to ask you about something about internet radio, okay?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll talk.
So remind me when we come back from the break to get that out of the way first.
All right, we'll do that. We'll talk internet radio. Okay. We'll talk some other things when we come back. Our guest is Voice Direct Sensitive Joe Hu. You can look him up at joehu.com. And Joe, is it safe to say now that you are you taking a break from readings for the time being, or can people contact you about readings?
Well, I would love for them to wait another week because I'm playing catch up. And by the way, I also came down with a nasty cold.
Uh-oh.
I lost the first time in 15 years I lost my voice. So yesterday was the first day I could taste food.
Oh my gosh.
You know, almost a week. I know.
That's not
good. That's why I said I had a cough.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, JoeWho.com. You can look him up there, and also you can email him, joe@joewho.com. All his information is at joewho.com. When we come back, we'll talk a little internet radio. We'll talk some other subjects with our friend Joe Who right here on Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader. It's Dave's 50th birthday today, so I gave him the day off. Why not? Be sure to wish Dave a happy birthday. Go to darknessradio.com, get his social media links, tell him what an old man he is. I know, I'm rubbing it in. I think, as long as I've got control here. But be sure to wish him a happy birthday today and let him know how much you love him. I love you too, Dave, even though you are older.
Oh, please. Happy birthday, Dave, from Joe. Trust me. You know what? You tell people you just had your second 25th birthday. That's what you tell people.
Yeah, exactly. It is Dave's birthday today. And let's make this announcement one more time here, Joe, that on Dave's birthday, he said he would give away three, count them, three, and I'm giving them away too, three spots or three one-year subscriptions to our True Crime Tuesday program, which you can find over on Patreon. And again, if you want to subscribe to True Crime Tuesday, it's just $5 a month. You get a brand new show every Tuesday with a brand new topic, brand new guest, and Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals. That's just $5 a month over at Patreon.com. Paul Curtis, Austin Hardy, and Rebecca Hazeltine Potter, you've all won one-year subscriptions to the True Crime Tuesday show. You'll be credited for a one-year subscription there. For that. So congratulations on that, Paul, Austin, and Rebecca. Congratulations. You all have a one-year subscription for free to True Crime Tuesday, courtesy of Dave on his birthday, because, by gosh, he wanted to give back on his birthday, and so we did. Joe Who is our guest, voice direct sensitive from Chicago, Illinois, and you can find him at joewho.com. And before the break, Joe, you tease that you want to talk a little internet radio, so let's talk, my friend. What tickles your fancy about this new frontier? Actually, it's not such a new frontier, but...
That's what I was going to say. I did something on the internet. It started in 2004, mm-hmm. actually in July of 2004. I built a studio because, I'd done Radio Chicago for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I built a studio in this other building. It's soundproofed it like a regular studio. Telos unit is a unit that it was a separate unit that allowed you to interact with the audience and to interact with the callers,
Right.
Something called a Telos unit. Anyway, so I was doing that in 2004, and it was a live show and people could call in, but that's different than what you're doing now, right?
Yeah, and to kind of separate where the industry's gone as opposed to where it was, interestingly enough, when we started Darkness Radio in 2006, the streaming component was there, like you were doing, the live streaming component, and podcasting or archiving was there as well. So we were taking full advantage. We were doing a live show for radio that was streaming at the same time, and so people could listen to us on the stream at the same time that an audience in Twin Cities was hearing our show, and then we would archive it or podcast it afterwards. And there was this reach that we were getting, and at the same time we were doing the paranormal trip industry with the Ghost Hunters and then later the Ghost Adventures guys, so
right.
We were marketing that way, so we were getting a bigger and bigger reach with the show. So really through guerrilla marketing and putting it out there, we were getting bigger and bigger. But with that being said, we kind of took a scattershot approach to broadcasting.
Okay.
In today's market, there are different areas of revenue, and it's not such a Wild West feel anymore. It used to be you just jumped on it because there never used to be revenue potential to the internet.
Nope.
If you remember when you got into internet radio or put it on the internet, if you would have approached advertising agencies and said, I have so many listeners, or I they would have said, that's nice, but what are we supposed to do with that? You know,
right.
they advertised in radio and television. Now, fast forward to 2017, iHeartRadio comes out, and in the first quarter of the year, they say, they release a statement saying, we don't know if we're going to make it to the fourth quarter of 2017 because our ad revenue is down. We have loans that we owe on the interest on, and if we don't pay the interest down on these loans, we may go out of business. We don't know if we're going to be around in the fourth quarter of 2017. And we contribute part of that to low revenue based on the fact that the internet is taking it. So think about that. From 2004, from when you started an internet radio, to 2017, 13 years later, the internet went from being non-significant as far as a revenue stream to taking away business from radio.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because it was a labor of love, because I'd never made a penny. It cost me.
Exactly.
It cost you money.
And yep. And it used to be kind of a side dish or a side benefit of radio, where they used to just kind of incorporate it and say, well, you know what, we'll offer a stream for people as kind of a kick to say, well, if you wanted to reach an extra market or two or pull in an extra, you know, or maybe there's some people in office buildings that can't hear you, oh, they can stream it on their computer at work. It's kind of a kick. It's kind of a lark, you know. We'll offer it as kind of an extra service. Now it's actually a viable media that may overtake another form of media. In that advertising agencies are seeing that you can put a show on the internet and a well-produced show on the internet. You can find an audience, you can grow that audience, and you've got real sustainability. And even through the network that we're on now, Podcast One. Podcast One was started by Norm Pattiz, who was the man who started Westwood One, the radio network.
Right.
And he had the right idea that podcasting eventually, which is a self-contained radio program, that archive of that live stream, which we all thought was just kind of a, oh, by the way, if you want a recording of this broadcast we did, yeah, it's out there. And remember when you would download the podcast and you just have it, right? It was just something you kept, like, yep, an old recording, like an like an old cassette tape or 8-track, or, you know, you would record stuff off the radio. It was just a recording you could have. Well,
yep.
Businessmen sat around and thought, you know what? These podcasts are worth something. Somebody in Bangor, Maine can listen to Dave and Tim in Minnesota and realize that this program that they're doing has value to them. And so all of a sudden, here's a new stream of revenue. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a live program. Because let's think for a second here, Joe. How much of your TV programs that you watch right now do you think are actually live, that aren't news?
Oh, very few.
Yeah, there is no such thing really as live television anymore. Even Saturday Night Live has pre-taped segments that are dropped into it. So,
yep.
The fact of the matter is there is really no such thing as live anything anymore. And, you know, one of the complaints that I had heard when we first went to podcasting is, well, you're not live anymore. I miss you being live. You know, there were times where we taped the show and we let it run at 9.
Yeah, but they didn't know that, though, did they?
No, they had no idea. No idea. But there were times, and it wasn't very often, but there were times where we would tape a brand new show. We load it up into NextGen, which was the automation system, and you guys had no idea. You know, unless you were watching for the podcast to be put up before the show actually aired, you had no idea that it wasn't live, and you would tune into the stream and listen to it. So, you know, in this day and age, it's become compartmentalized due to revenue reasons. So podcasts really are a source of revenue. They're not a throwaway free gift, to put it that way, from radio.
No.
They're a source of revenue. Streaming is a source of revenue. Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, they've become premium services now. You get a certain amount for free, but if you want an ad-free service, you've got to pay a premium price. You got to pay a certain amount per month. So all of this has been broken up and monetized, which, you know, to the consumer, now the consumer went from having a lot of different free options to not so much having to pick and choose their entertainment. And that could be a little frustrating. I get that. But that's where the models have gone. You know, and there's a reason for that. I know people get frustrated because like, oh gosh, another service to pay for. Oh gosh, another service to pay for. But there was there have been a lot of things. If you kind of sit back and look at the scope of entertainment, there are a lot of things that go the way of the dodo because they're not funded, or they run out of dollars, or they run out of steam, or you can only do things for free for so long, I guess.
In today's world, is anything really truly free anymore?
No, that's the thing. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Yeah.
We do what we can, you know, on with being here on Podcast One to do what we can to keep the show free for everybody, you know, with
right.
Beyond the Darkness. And to us, a few commercial sponsors aren't a bad thing if we're allowed to continue to do a 5-day a week show and keep it free for
And your audience, Adam, you know, and your audience, I'm sure everybody who listens to anybody who knows that doing things like this costs money for someone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
But
so when
you know,
when I started mine, which was I guess more of a wasn't really a podcast. What would you call what I did?
You were actually doing internet. I would say internet radio, because at that time internet radio was a combination of streaming and podcasting archiving, and you could call it internet radio at the time. I would say what Darkness Radio was the incarnation before Beyond the Darkness, and that's the reason really for the name change, was because Darkness Radio in itself was internet, well, not just internet radio, it was radio in total. It was over-the-air terrestrial radio, internet radio, streaming, podcasting, you got the entire enchilada. But you have to realize that was, and I hate to say it, you know, folks, sometimes you can't go back to the good old days. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But that was kind of the whole enchilada. And the only groups that are doing the whole enchilada these days, and you're going to find this out in the next year or two, and people are really going to cringe at this when I say this, is that the big conglomerates, CBS, iHeartRadio, Cumulus, they really are starting to figure out now that, oh, you know what? Our radio programs, we're producing into podcasts and we're putting them out there, but eventually we're going to have to make it into a premium service. Eventually we're going to have to either tag advertising onto it, or we're going to have to find a way to make it the archives, the podcasts, into a premium service. So even the days of being able to catch up with the archives of your over-the-air programs are going to have a catch to them. So,
yeah, I'm sure you're right. Absolutely true, yeah.
So, I mean, it's evolution. It may not be the evolution you're looking for, but that's the evolution, and that's the reality of private media, you know.
You know, it's interesting what you said. You know, like regular terrestrial radio used to be personality-driven.
Right.
Well, now you've got, you know, one DJ that's, you know, going all over this kind of six states, you know, not the local talent draws isn't there anymore.
Right. And you have my buddy Big D, who's in Las Vegas, he voice tracks six different markets besides the Las Vegas market. So he's actually in,
right,
you know, different markets. And it's hard for people to, you know, I don't think people follow disc jockeys like they used to. You know, there's never,
that's true.
There's never going to be another Wolfman Jack. There's never going to be, you know, I mean,
right.
You know,
Larry Lou Jack in Chicago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have the occasional host who crosses over to television like Ryan Seacrest, but you know, I mean, I think there's one in a generation. You know, you have a Howard Stern or you have a Ryan Seacrest and it happens once in a decade and that's it. You know, as far as radio is concerned, they take away the personality and they're trying to give you the playlist, because right now they're trying to compete with the internet or internet music services. They see their enemy as as Spotify and these different music services, Tidal and all these other music services, taking away their business. When really, and talk radio is seeing podcasting as taking away their business. But really, here's the deal. Podcasting, and the reason why people have turned to podcasting, is because podcasting is giving them the content and the depth of what they want for talk in a nice little portable module. And that's what's convenient for us and why we love podcasting so much, is now you can take our show anywhere. You can download it, take it anywhere, listen to it at any time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not funny. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're right. It's not static. You're not confined to, you know, a certain local area. Granted, there's like coast to coast goes at 750, whatever market is.
About 600. Yeah, 600 markets.
Yeah, that's definitely an exception to the rule. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the host George Norrie is well known because of Art Bell, who started the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like a, you know, just a phenomenon. That whole thing was, but today, because of what you do and other people do. Like you said, you can take it with you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, my station, I actually put it on, my shows were put on archive, so people actually could listen to them. Now, they could download them if they wanted to, but it would be, you know, big audio, big file.
Right.
Back then, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So, but what today, what you're doing today, like you said, you can take it with you wherever you go. You know, even if you want to put it, you know, in your car, you know, you're traveling, and you can, you know, a lot of things you can do with it, and you're not stuck to being in a certain position, a certain place, at a certain time.
Right, and it's a more portable media. I think it's a friendlier media, and we've become an on-demand society. So people get what they want when they want.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Yes, they're an on-demand society. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you get it with television, with DVRs. You get it on demand with podcasting and radio. Radio really has had to change in order to fit technology. It's not the other way around. You know, we're not stuffing technology into radio. Radio had to change their game because podcasting and the internet changed radio, and it's essentially it's killing radio slowly. Is radio?
You know what?
Oh, what's that?
Go ahead.
No.
You just said remind me something of television. Okay, now, cable. Everybody knows what cable is or satellite.
Sure. Except,
you know, you pay us to get all these channels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm a part of, what is it, Xfinity or whatever it is?
Yep.
And there's a station, you know, it has a show that I like to watch. And it says, well, you've missed a show. You can go back and, you know, you can go back and listen to it again anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tried to do it with an episode I missed. All of a sudden, now they want $2 to do that.
Yeah,
they put a fee on it. I'm already paying a monthly fee for the service.
Right, and that's that again is the cable company adding another stream. But Joe, there's another on top of that. You've got people cutting the cord on cable companies because you've got companies like Sling TV and Netflix and Hulu and all these companies,
right,
that are offering television services and television stations and programs. And past
yeah.
seasons of programs out there, and people are saying, you know what, I don't need cable companies. I don't need to be tethered to a cable company or a satellite company in order to get the programs I want.
I'm aware of the Hulu and all that, but you don't need cable to do that? If you have an internet, you can do it?
If you have an internet connection, I know people who have just completely cut off cable altogether. They just have Sling TV, and Sling TV, I think, again, they don't advertise with us, but you know, their services are much less expensive than your average cable, and I mean, there's less channels, but they're probably the channels, you know, you can pick and choose which channels you want. So,
you know, when I pay a fortune for just what they call expanded basic. I don't know. People forgot how much you pay for that.
Yeah,
that doesn't include my high speed. That's just for the cable itself.
Right. So a lot of people are just going with internet, and they're picking and choosing different providers on the internet to stream. If you have a decent streaming module like a Fire Stick or Apple TV or even I'll give you an example, Joe, my own self, and this is just myself. On my iPad, I have Netflix and I have Sling TV. And okay. On my Sling TV, I've got I'm trying to remember. I think I have the Blue package or something like that. So I've got, you know, on the Blue package, I've got NFL Network, I've got USA, I've got AMC. So I can keep up with The Walking Dead. I can keep up with my wrestling shows, you know, and I get the local Fox 9 affiliate. So if I'm on the road, I can watch my Minnesota Vikings. I can watch my wrestling shows. I can watch the things that I want to watch, and I can hook them up from an HDMI cable and an interface with my iPad, and I can hook them up to a TV and watch them. And
okay, so does your iPad also do phone calls too?
Yeah, yep. I have a data package on my my iPad. So, you know, Yeah.
You know, all this stuff, man, it's just mind-boggling. All this stuff. You know, I mean, when I was a little boy, we were lucky if we had, toys that they got today.
Yeah. It's true. And that's the thing. I mean, technology can, you know, sometimes you can think, well, you know, technology can be used for evil. But really, there's some great uses for technology out there. And I mean, to the people who are listening to this program, who are streaming this program, I'm not saying anything new to them. I mean, they're probably all laughing going, this is old hat. There's better things out there. And I'll probably get a bunch of emails about, have you heard about this or heard about that? And I probably have. I mean, the stuff that I'm putting out there is no big secret. I mean, it may be new to you, Joe, but it's not new to our audience. I mean, this is all pretty standard stuff. There's other services. There's also some not so legal services out there that allow you to get different things like pay-per-views and stuff like that. That's always been on the internet, but.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. We're going headlong into such a, amazing technological evolution of not only, you know, technology, but people, you know, I mean, people are becoming so attached to all these things, you know, there's a positive, there's also a negative side to all this too. I'm not saying that, you know, as far as like, especially, you know, I mean, a cellular phone, you know, if I make my, you know, I make my living, part of my living that way. So, you know, when I'm not working, the last thing I want to do is answer the phone for a while, you know? But you know, and texting, I can't see, that's one thing I don't understand. I don't have a smartphone. I refuse to get one.
Really?
I got a little cheap flip phone. Okay, if I want to talk to somebody, I call them. You got a phone? Why would you want to text them?
Well, I tell you, Joe. Though once you get into a smartphone and all that, it kind of changes your life. You really have access to everything at your fingertips, and especially if you've got like the higher end Android or iPhone. I mean, you've got your internet access there. You've got your email all there. I mean, you've got your calendar. You've got everything you need to organize your life. It's all right there.
I know. I understand that. I think that's cool. But how many times have you been to a restaurant? And you see four people sitting at a table, all on their smartphones, texting people.
True.
I think we're losing interpersonal relationships because of some of this. Not necessarily. You know, I'm going off on a tangent. I'm not talking about streaming. I mean, you know, internet radio, stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
I'm talking about other aspects of this. I mean, there's always a negative with a positive.
Well, I've now, you know, and over the last, since I had my own hospital scare back in which the audience is familiar with, but I had my own hospital scare this past spring.
I forgot. Wait, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No.
I want to ask you about that. You know, you were going. I didn't want to do this, but I wanted to ask you about you because I heard that you had an issue. And I heard from Dave.
Well,
Dave had called me and asked me a question. Yeah, and I told him what happened to me, and he freaked out. You know, but he told me you had a scare too, but he didn't tell me what it was.
I'll tell you briefly here in a second, but I'll just say, but since I had that scare, what I've done is when I'm sitting at dinner with somebody, or when I'm sitting in a place where really something requires my attention, I put my phone away now. Like if I go out to dinner with someone, I'll put my phone away. I won't look at it.
See, that's easy. That's commendable. a lot of people. There's a new thing from the psychiatric world called separation anxiety when people lose their phones.
Yeah. But I won't. It's just you have to. you have to realize that there's a, and I think because people feel like they're connected to many people at one time, and there's kind of, I mean, it hits the dopamine centers too when you're pushing buttons and you're keeping connected to everybody and you're making sure that all your bases are covered. The dopamine centers are being stimulated. So, I mean, I get that, but it's an entirely different feeling when you're sitting with a group of friends or family at a table. And especially this ties into the whole Thanksgiving thing. When you're sitting there at Thanksgiving dinner, putting away the phone and just enjoying the moment, because you only get so many of those moments, you know? You only get so many times where you get to sit around the table and have a laugh or share a moment or share stories or have something truly funny happen or have a tender moment or whatever, where you get to talk with family and friends, and those don't happen very often. So you really do need to take advantage where you can. And unfortunately, I think smartphones at times do take that away from you because you're too busy in the phone and not seeing the world around you. Now, just to kind of tell you a little bit about what happened, and I'll make it quick here, Joe, but essentially, you know, the issues I've had with the Charcot foot in February, I had what's called the cuboid excision to flatten out my foot. When they went in there to make the foot flat, long story short, they can clean the foot, but they can't sterilize it. So I ended up with a staph infection in the bone that I didn't know about.
Oh.
And it sat in the bone and it kind of festered for a while. And when they put me on the wound vac in order to close up the foot, because the foot kind of fell apart after surgery. About 3 weeks afterwards, they took the stitches out and nothing had come together. So they put me on a wound vac to bring the foot back together. And when they put me on the wound vac, the staph infection was drawn out of the bone into the blood, and I ended up getting sepsis. And it was a home health care nurse by the name of Ronnie. And she was the one who caught it. I told her I hadn't been feeling well lately, and I was sweating and cold at the same time, and I guess I looked gray. And she said, "I'm going to take your temperature." At the time, it was like 101 or something, or it was close to 101, which is unusual because I always run 97 degrees. I mean, it's like 97.1, 97.5 is about the highest I ever get. So I was up around 101, and she said, "I want you to go to the hospital now." And my foot was red and swollen. And she said, "I know you've got an infection. I just don't know how bad it is." So I went to the hospital, and they took different blood cultures and stuff, and they realized that not only was the foot infected, but I had it in my entire bloodstream, and it was a messy 5 days. The when I got into the hospital initially, they put me on some pretty strong antibiotics, and it was on Saturday. It was the day after, where my blood pressure and my blood sugar dropped so dramatically that they had two nurses working on me at the same time for about 8 hours. And my blood sugar, the last number I remember them saying was 36.
Holy cow.
And I remember them saying that my blood pressure had gone to 50 over 30, but I think they said it went lower than that. And
I
had this...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I had this wonderful nurse. I think she's from the West Indies or Jamaica, somewhere like that. And I remember her looking at me. She's trying to feed me food to keep my blood sugar up because it kept dropping lower and lower and lower. And they give you like this lemony paste in the which I ate, but it only raises your blood sugar like 20 points. It really doesn't do anything. And but she's trying to feed me food, and she's telling me, "You got to keep eating, Tim. You got to keep eating." And so I'm trying to eat, and I'm just laying there thinking, God, you know what? I can't. I just can't, you know. And she like gets like 4 inches away from my face, and she says, "I'm not letting you die today." And I was like, "Oh, all right." So I'm like laying there, and I'm thinking, and I had the thought just briefly, because what happened, I thought it was weird, and it was actually kind of an experience I wanted to talk to you about. As I was laying there, the edges of the room kind of go like blackish gray. Like everything was kind of starting to fade out. I didn't see any lights or relatives or nothing came forward to me, but everything was kind of starting to gray out a little bit. And I was getting ready to pass out, but I felt extremely calm. I remember that. And I remember having the thought of, you know what? I've been in so much pain for so long. It'd be so easy just to slip away. That was the one thought I had.
Okay.
For a brief second. It was just a brief second. And then I went, you know what? Nah. I got too much to do. And that, you know, I've got friends and family that I still want to be around for. And that was it.
The fading around you, like tunnel vision type thing, where the edges are fading. I think that was related to just blood pressure and lack of low sugar. Okay.
Okay.
The one thing that you said, you had the calmness.
Yeah.
That was the spiritual side of you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had that thought, and then all of a sudden you said, "Nope." That's what stopped it, because you said no.
Okay.
Okay. What, you know, there's something that says, you know, I'm not ready to leave yet. It's not my time. I'm not ready yet. Okay.
Yep.
So that's and you won't see anything else because you weren't going anywhere, you know, and you weren't quite a near death experience, although you were a lot closer than, you know, I would imagine you would be, but still, what, you weren't at that point yet. And by the way, before your surgery, couldn't they see, don't they do a pre-admission blood test to make sure you don't have any kind of infections? Don't they do that?
Well, they had, yeah. In fact, what stopped the surgery initially was because I had had an infection in a tooth, and they initially didn't do the surgery. I was supposed to have it close to Christmas of last year, and they told me no, and they gave me antibiotics to fight off the infection, and then I had a top row of teeth removed, and then I, you know, had some dental surgery done. And then once the infection was totally clear out of my system, then they said they would do the surgery. So I was, at that point, I was infection free, but I had a permanent ulceration on the bottom of my foot that they needed to, the only way it was going to go away was by a cuboid excision. They had to go ahead and do the surgery.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you know, our friend Jeff, something like that happened to him, nothing like you, but they discovered, thank God, that he had a bone infection in his big toe because it kept cracking open on him, okay? Oh. So they put him on liquid antibiotics twice a day, IV, for like 2.5 hours each time for almost 2 months, and they finally got rid of all the infection.
Wow.
And his toe was allowed to heal. Isn't that a trip?
Yeah. Antibiotics are amazing. I mean,
yeah,
what they can do. I mean, I'll tell you, Joe, without the antibiotics and without the wound vac, I wouldn't have my foot right now. I mean, I still have where the incision was, I still have a bit of a scab. It's sealed. It isn't completely healed yet, but it's sealed. I there's the nightmare isn't quite over yet, but, see, what had happened was after the wound itself had finally sealed, which was probably, I'd say, 2.5 months ago, about two weeks after it sealed, my foot went back into acute Charcot. So they found new fractures. And so I started, you know, hitting the vitamin D and the calcium hard again. And I finally got those to seal up, but the foot did fall slightly. It's not a rocker bottom foot per se, but there's a bit of a bump on the bottom. So I can't go back into it. The whole idea behind doing the cuboid excision was to be able to get me into a normal shoe. When I went back to the orthopedic podiatrist I've been seeing, he said, no, we're not going to be able to do that. No more surgeries either because of what you've been through. And he said, essentially, they're going to put me back in the crow walker boot for the rest of my life. So it's, So, but you know what? At least I'm walking. That's the thing. At least
you still got your foot. Yeah,
I do. I still have my foot. And you know, there's the opportunity there to walk. Right now, I'm in physical therapy to because I haven't walked really in 2 years. I haven't walked any distances. Like at Chicago Ghost Con. I don't know if people know this. People that were at Chicago Ghost Con saw me standing on stage. And they saw me walking to and from the back of the stage. But what I don't think people realized is that that was the most walking I had done in almost 2 years. And I was in an extreme amount of pain that entire time because my hip flexors hadn't worked in almost 2 years. But I wanted to make a good show of it. So, yeah.
Well, obviously, you're a trooper there.
I kind of pushed it a little bit. But that's essentially what happened to me. I mean, that's the longer story than I wanted to make it. But that was what happened.
Well, you know what? You were worse off than I was.
No.
Tim, I had no heart attack. I never had a heart attack.
Yeah, but still, Joe, I've seen my grandfather, my mom, and my dad go through open heart surgery, and I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I know what kind of pain that is when they crack your ribs open and spread it. And even friends, my friend Scotty Roberts had that surgery recently too, and it's not an easy surgery. It's just not.
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I couldn't tell you how little pain I was in.
Really?
They did such a good job.
Wow.
You know, like I said, the only thing I had to be careful of is coughing and sneezing. Okay, that was it. I mean, but you said something interesting. Your sugar was so low. I mean, you said it was almost, really, really bad low.
Right.
Okay, so what makes sugar go low? Is you're producing too much insulin?
Well, the way they explained it to me was there was something having to do with the infection in my blood that was causing me to... It was causing the blood pressure to go low and the blood sugar to go low, but they didn't really explain it real well, and I really wasn't in my right mind when they explained it to me. I was so
that's true.
Exhausted. But they, for some reason, it was the infection in the blood that was causing my vitals to dip, but it was the minute that the infection broke that everything went back to normal. It was so weird.
Wow. That's right. When everything went back to normal.
Yeah.
So just obviously you're still diabetic, right?
Oh, yes.
Are you taking insulin now or pills or both?
Both. Yeah.
Okay.
I got a lot of medications I'm taking. No kidding. You know, just to be frank and honest with the audience, because I think Dave and I always have been on this show. I did see an endocrinologist recently, and... And we talked about, I got tested for something called gastroparesis, which is neuropathy of the small intestine, which I don't have, thank God. I don't have. That test came back fine. But we started talking a little bit about picking up where we left off with doing like a gastric sleeve surgery. So I may do that. I was in the program to do that before, but I had had some issues with teeth and stuff. So I've had my teeth repaired now, and so I may go back to doing that because again, Joe, being completely open and honest, in my family, and we've talked about again, this comes full circle to heart disease. We've talked about my grandfather, my mother, and my father both. All having heart bypass issues, and they all, well, with my grandfather, he was older, but my dad was in his 50s when he had his heart attack. My mom was in her 60s when she had her heart issues. Actually, my mom never had a heart attack per se. She was like you. They found the clogged arteries and went in and did the surgery.
Same thing with my mother. My mother never had a heart attack. She had in fact, when she was 82 or 83, they put two stents in her.
You know what was with my mom? She was getting more and more exhausted, and it wasn't like her. And she went in and had an exam, if I remember this right. She went in and had the exam, and they found it. They found the clogged arteries and said, you need a bypass right away. So it's funny how they find that stuff. But I see myself headed down this eventual road. And so, I kind of, in my own mind, I came to this... I had this come to Jesus meeting with myself, I guess. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to have to bite the bullet somewhere here. And I mean, I had the one scary experience with the foot surgery. I know that the Charcot foot is the weakest point in my body. And I talked to the endocrinologist about, I've already had one scary experience with surgery where, I damn near bit it. but this is a little further up in my body, you know, up in my stomach. So I wanted to test that area to see if everything's fine, which it is.
Yeah.
So you know what? Now that I know it's fine, you know, I think it'd be okay to go forward and do the gastric sleeve surgery, and because I do need to drop the weight and make it permanent.
Is that sleeve surgery thing? It's like a balloon they can inflate.
No. That's gastric sleeve. They take and they cut your stomach down to essentially just what it says. It's a sleeve. It's a tube that goes straight to your intestines. So there's essentially little or no stomach there. It's like 15% of your stomach is all that's left afterwards. And it's
so for the rest of your life, you can only put so much.
Yep. You can only
in your stomach.
Yeah, you can only eat a small amount of food.
So then they give you a lot of supplements to take too, don't they?
Yeah. You're on.
Is that something you're sure you want to do?
To stay alive, sure. I mean, as it is now.
I mean, there's other procedures that the one that I've heard about is you put like a rubber band around your stomach and they inflate it.
The lap band, when I was in that program, they go over all the different options with you and they tell you what works better than others for especially when you're diabetic and stuff like that. They said ultimately the gastric bypass works a little bit better for weight loss. You tend to lose, like, I think 20 more pounds than you do the gastric sleeve, but the gastric sleeve tends to be less invasive and is a quicker recovery time. And then there's the lap band.
But that's also reversible, though.
The lap band's reversible, too. Yeah. Oh, the lap band's reversible. Yeah.
Yeah.
True, reversible, but then... You know what? Why do I?
The only question I have for you is how much you enjoy food, and is that something you can really extremely limit without?
But Joe, a love of food will kill you. You know, I mean, it'll kill me.
I know that a love of food will kill anybody. I know that it's the kind of food you're eating though too. But I understand that there's a heavy psychological thing with that too. I mean, it's going to save your life. Fine.
Well,
that's not what I'm saying.
Over the last few years, what I've managed to do, and what I've managed to, I've managed to overcome a lot of things having to do with addiction, and people. I know there's a lot of people that think I'm going to use a bad word here. Joe, are you ready for this?
Yeah,
I can do it because it's podcasting. I'm not regulated by the FCC. a lot of people think that food addiction and sugar addiction is bullshit. That's what they think. It's a very real thing. But here's the thing, too, is there is a physical component and there's a mental component. And in my mind, I had to tell myself, and I did this 2 years ago now. 2 years ago, I said to myself, I'm never going to drink another Coca-Cola again. Not going to do it. Because I used to drink 3 2-liters of Coca-Cola a day, Joe.
Oh, my God.
And I told myself, I'm never going to do it again. Not going to do it. That's one of my, not only a trigger food, but that's what I'm addicted to. And I haven't. I put my foot down. That was it. I'm never going back to it again. Not going to do it. Because I knew that was killing me. My blood sugars would go up to 500 when I would drink that stuff. So knowing that that's what I had to do to keep living and keep surviving. I put it forward. I did it. You know, you don't do it alone. You know, you tell people, I can't do that. You know, when people offer it, you know, you say, oh, no, that's okay. You find other alternatives. You tell yourself it's for the best. And after a while, what is it? It takes 30 days to make something a habit, I think is what they say.
Yeah.
So after 30 days, you're kind of out of the woods.
You know, I was never really a pop drinker, you know.
Yeah.
Once in a great, I always noticed in the summertime, if I had a Coke or something, I'd get sweatier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's too much sugar. So I'm more addicted to things that are salty, like potato chips, Fritos. Mm-hmm. That's my weakness. And I had to cut those out too, by the way.
And see, I've never been a big chip eater. Chips aren't my thing. It's like sugary stuff. That's the one thing that I have to eventually come to grips with. And that's the one thing that I work on.
So this past year, both you and I, and I'm sure a lot of people in the world have had some trying situations. Hopefully it's done now. Now we can go forward with our heads held high and doing a lot better.
Yeah, and it's interesting how fast 2017 is. But you remember how everybody was like, 2016 is such a terrible year. I can't wait to get to 2017. Do you think there's a lot of people going, God, I can't wait for 2017 to be over and get to 2018?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. This is probably the worst year, knock on wood, with my, I've had some interesting losses. I've had some interesting trials and tribulations. I mean, amazing stuff, I just thank the good Lord up there that I'm still here and you're still here and we're, and everybody else who's had the tribulations that they're still here, too, and let's go forward from here,
Yeah. Well, Joe, I'm very thankful for you on this Thanksgiving, and I love you, my friend.
Oh, I'm thankful for you and Dave, ever since we first appeared on your show, I've always thought of you guys as actually friends. I know Dave's had a lot of stuff on his plate.
Yeah.
With the kids.
Well, he's married now, Joe. He got married.
Oh, he got married?
Yeah.
Wait, when did he get married?
He got married this past weekend.
Oh, he just got married. Okay.
Yeah, he just got married this past weekend.
If you told me last year, I'm going to say, where the hell have I been? Okay.
No, just this past weekend. He got married this past weekend.
Oh, wow. So when he called me, it was before he got married.
Then. Yeah, yeah.
Because he'd, okay, well, that's cool.
He's kind of celebrating 50 in a big way.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Dave, again, happy birthday and happy belated congratulations on your wedding. That's
there
cool.
Yeah. So he's kind of ringing in 50 in style. So.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And how about you? You're doing good too. You're on the mend now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting better. I'm getting stronger, and I'm gonna ring in 2018 by actually starting to walk. That's what I'm gonna do. So.
It's funny you say that. I was supposed to start cardiac rehab. After you have open heart surgery, they wait about a month and they want you to go on a treadmill. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
To test your, because your heart gets inflamed anyway, mm-hmm. because of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when it goes down and your stress test, it was normal, then they start cardiac rehab. So I was supposed to go there, was it Friday? And they said, no, I'm sorry, I was supposed to go there Monday morning. And they told me, no, stay home, you got a cold. We don't want you infecting anybody here. Let's make it next Monday. Because, like I said, I just got my voice back, I think, yesterday.
Jeez.
So Monday, I was like, I call them and they said, no, don't come in here.
Well, I'm glad we were able to catch you at a decent time where you had your voice back, and I'm glad you toughed it out.
The first time in 15 years I lost my voice.
Wow.
Laryngitis. I haven't had laryngitis, and I couldn't tell you the last time, at least 15 years.
Wow.
So it's going around here. I don't know what's going on up there, but up here it's nasty.
There's a real bad intestinal flu going on around here, up here already.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh, really? Already, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, geez. Yeah.
It's going through the school system.
Hey, Timmy, this is great. I mean, I love talking to you guys. I love catching up. And now that everything's going back to normal, we should talk more often, really.
Absolutely. In the future, when we're both a little stronger, when we get moving, let's figure out a way to get some people on. We'll do some readings. How does that sound?
Yeah, I'll do that. And I also want to tell some people that things are going on with the paranormal research stuff I've been doing. A couple houses in the area.
Oh, yeah, we'll do
and
that, too.
One that was,
Well, you know what, why don't you give us a little taste, just real quick. Give us a little taste about some of it.
Okay, within 20 miles of where I am now, there's this place that every Halloween they have, these hay rides. They cut paths through the cornfields, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they have little people that, hiding, and they have the hay rides for the kids, and they jump out and scare them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this they've been doing it at this place for quite a many years, and people would always say they'd see ghosts, the actors. Well, this person brought a camera, and it showed on camera that, no, there's definitely something that's not, not a living person, an actual, disincarnated spirit, that they got a full photograph, full apparition. you can actually see through him, okay?
Whoa.
And, but you can see, yeah, it's not photoshopped or anything.
Huh.
You can see the cord in the background and where he was. It was amazing. So we're going to go, we've done some stuff on that, and I'll tell you the next time we talk what happened.
Absolutely, yeah. I look forward to that. We'll get you back. We'll talk about some paranormal research, and we'll find a way to get some people in, and we'll do a few readings. How does that sound?
Yeah, and if, like I said, if people want to do a session with me, please give me a week before you even try to get a hold of me or make an appointment so I can catch up. Okay?
Exactly. Give Joe about a week. But again, you can look him up at joewho.com. And or you can email him, joe@joewho.com. Joe, thank you very much for being with us today.
Oh, it was great to catch up with you. And, you know, we're sharing war stories here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, every once in a while you got to do that.
Remember Jaws, you know, you see this car. No, hey, look at this car.
Exactly.
Well, and like I said, when I cracked my ribs, remember I told you what happened when my mom passed away? I fell down my own stairs. I cracked 3 ribs.
Yep.
That pain, I swear to you, was 10 times worse than the surgery pain. After surgery.
Wow. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
All right, then. Take care, my friend.
You too. Thank you, Joe.
And we love you.
Love you too. And folks, want to remind you again, congratulations to our 3 winners, Paul Curtis, Austin Hardy, and Rebecca Hazeltine Potter. You have won 1 year of True Crime Tuesday, our show over on Patreon. Again, if you want to get the best in true crime radio, you can by going to darknessradio.com, click on the banner that says True Crime Tuesday, and sign up right now. It's $5 a month, and you get a brand new guest every week and a brand new segment of Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals. That gift to Paul, Austin, and Rebecca Hazeltine Potter is courtesy of Dave on his birthday. Again, buddy, happy 50th birthday. I hope you have the best day ever. You enjoy that time with your granddaughter today. I know you're babysitting her today, and that your family treats you well, and that you get lots of gifts, lots of love, and lots of cake. Cake is important on your birthday too. All right, folks, we are off Thursday and Friday. We're going to enjoy the holiday, and we want you to enjoy your holiday as well. Spend some time with friends and family, and we're thankful for you this Thanksgiving. Thank you for everything that you do. For following us here on Podcast One. Thank you to Chris Jericho, to Barry Bloom, and to the Jericho Network, and our brothers and sisters in arms here on the Jericho Network. Thank you for your support. Thank you, Chris and Barry, for having us here on the network and being behind us and being in our corner, because you guys are a support that we appreciate more than you know. Again, thank you guys for being our partners in this venture. We're very thankful, very grateful to you. And again, one more time, thank you to you, the audience who tunes in and day out and puts up with our ramblings and keeps us going here as we explore the paranormal together and explore different topics together. Sometimes, like today, it isn't so much paranormal, but just catching up with old friends and keeping up with each other, because sometimes that's just as important too. But thank you for sharing our lives, because we like to share your lives too and get to know what's going on with you via our social media. And you can check out our social media pages by going to darknessradio.com and following us on social media. We like to follow you too. For Dave Schrader, I'm Tim Dennis. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend, folks. And go Vikings, because they play the Lions and they're going to cream them. Sorry, Detroit. And we will see you on Monday for Supernatural News and Parashare here on the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This has been Beyond the Darkness.